Welcome to the Garden State Church. You know, we're people who are simply striving to follow in Jesus' footsteps. And we're striving to do God's will. You know, I know later on today, the world's going to be watching the Super Bowl. And I must say, you know, I'm keen to the Keystone State. So fly, Eagles, fly. Let's see them get their first Super Bowl victory later on this evening. You know, we have been doing a series here where, you know, we've been building up. You know, a few weeks ago, Larry discussed our need to grow and the importance of our relationship with God. You know, last week, Brother Novak did a tremendous job introducing our theme of growth, right? Discussing the big picture of where are we going. And he reminded us the importance of being one mind, one heart, and following in Jesus' footsteps. You know, he even inspired us with the little, you know, catch theme, planting Christ in every community. And you know, when you think about that, and you saw that map last week with those 8 counties and over 4.1 million people, how is that going to happen? Planting Christ in Bergen County, Essex County, Hudson County, Morris County, Passaic County, Sussex County, Union County, and let's not forget Warren County. How are we going to get there? No, 1996, and I don't want to know that you weren't born in that year. Some of those on the left side here are like, what? Whitney Houston sang a song entitled Step by Step that found itself in the Preacher's Wife soundtrack. And part of the song says, well, there's a bridge and there's a river that I still must cross as I'm going on my journey. Oh, I might be lost and there's a road I have to follow, a place I have to go. Well, no one told me just how to get there. But when I get there, I'll know. Because I'm taking it step by step, bit by bit, stone by stone, brick by brick. Oh, yeah. Step by step, day by day, mile by mile. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, you guys know I'm not the singer. But you know, seeing what we see here, what I see here in 8 different counties across northern New Jersey is going to happen step by step. And the first step that we need to take is to get down on our knees. This morning, I'm going to talk about growing in my talk with God. Because if there's one thing that you can't get enough of, it's talking to God. Our relationship with God is twofold. We read His Word and we listen, but we also got to talk to Him. I love that song. I am a friend of God. Do you feel that way this morning, church? Do you feel that God is your friend, that He is with you, that He is for you, that He is behind you, and because He's with you, anything's possible? You know, I asked Ross a couple weeks, I said, bro, can we sing that song again? I know we sang it last week, but can we sing it again? Because you know what? That's the essence, church. We individually have a friendship with God. But you know, sometimes when our, you know, we're not seeing things the way it needs to be, maybe God's not a friend. Maybe He's a distant cousin. Maybe he's a boss. Or even worse, he's an enemy. But you know, this morning I'd like for us to look at a man who was a friend of God. He heard God's voice through his time in prayer. God put something on his heart, and he took God's message, and he did the unthinkable. He fulfilled God's dream of rebuilding that wall. But it was more than just the wall being rebuilt. It was lives being rebuilt. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We've acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I've chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king." Let's keep reading chapter 2. Verse 1. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought to him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, because the king thought maybe I was getting ready to kill him or something. So I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look so sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven. And I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." And we'll stop right there for a minute. Let's go to God in prayer. Our God in heaven, we thank you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity that we get to be together and worship and think about you. Please help your word to move our hearts. We love you. We pray all of this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, Nehemiah was a strong, confident, competent man who held a very, very high position in the king, with the king of Persia. It says, as cupbearer, he was like the right-hand man to the king. And so you got to understand, during that time, kings were dictators. If they didn't like the way you looked, then you could die. Nehemiah was in a really, really interesting position. But you see something about Nehemiah's heart. Although he's with royalty, he had a tender heart for God's people. They were about 800 miles away, and he hears the news about what's going on back home. And it literally broke his heart. It broke his heart. And the Bible says that he began to mourn, that he began to fast and pray. And it's very interesting, because why would you care so much? What would affect you in a way that you break down and cry? You know, when's the last time you heard some news and it brought you to tears? And it wasn't about you. It wasn't about your situation. Somebody's like, well, this morning, actually, I was brought to tears. Nehemiah had a tender heart because God's people were that important to him. Where he came from, what he understood, the lineage, the history, it was all wrapped up in him. And so when he heard that news, he became sad. You know, sometimes our world says, you know, act tough. You know, the young people, you know, they got this thing about, you know, don't let them, you know, don't let them see you sweat. And I tell you, it irritates me when I go to basketball games and I'm watching kids try to be cool while playing ball. Great and it's day. Like, are you serious?
Thank you.
You need to hustle. You don't need to be walking. Assassination getting ready to happen. I mean, he was in a really tough situation. But you know, it told me something about Nehemiah and about us. It's about 4 to 5 months, and Nehemiah has been going to God praying, praying, praying. Sometimes we get tired. We don't see something happening, and we can actually get sad. And we can begin to lose hope or lose faith to the point where we stop actually praying. And we think, well, God knows anyway. Why do I need to pray? He may have gotten to this point. But, you know, God is also always testing and working on us. He's trying to help us get to a place. He's trying to help other people get to places that they need to be. And for Nehemiah, the place was this opportunity that the door would be open and then he would walk right on in. You know, the other thing I wanted to say before we jump into this lesson is, you know, we all have reflexes. You go to a doctor, you sit down on that white paper and your lady's hanging over the, you know, over the table there, and they take that little metal hammer, or rubber metal hammer, and it tapped you on the knee, and it immediately is like, boink. And the knee just reacts, it reflects. You know, there's the reflective exercise. See, his reflective exercise when things came his way was get down on my knees and pray. See, how do you react to situations? What's your reaction? Do you get on the phone, Carl, you know what happened? Let me tell you. Do you get mad and frustrated? I can't believe, or do you run, okay, that happened, so I gotta go do this, I gotta do this. If there's one thing I wanna encourage us this morning, is that our reflective muscles would be to pray. Before I talk to this person, before I go to that situation, before I get mad, before I do, let me go to God and let me pray and talk to him about it, because he could actually do something about the situation. Are you with me, church? But let me say this. Sometimes this is our prayer. Let me tell you if you've been there. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Cuisinart to keep. I pray my stocks are on the rise and that my analyst is wise. That the Perrier I sip is light and that my hot tub's watertight. That racquetball won't get too tough. That all my sushi's fresh enough. I pray my cordless phone still works. That my career won't lose its perks. My microwave won't radiate. My condo won't depreciate. I pray my health club doesn't close and that my money market grows. And if I go broke before I wait, I pray my Volvo they won't take. Sometimes the prayer is just all about us. Are you with me? We say a little thing, Lord, no, God, Jesus. And then, I need this, I need that, give me this, give me that. Help me with this, help me with that. Nehemiah shows us, and we don't have time to go through the whole book, but he's got a pattern of prayer that I want to encourage you with this morning. That we can change the way that we pray in a way that helps us to really focus on God. You know, in verse 5, Nehemiah, he starts with looking up. Are you with me, church? He looked up. He says, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commands. He saw God as great and awesome. There was nothing God couldn't do. But sometimes we forget to stop and just praise God for who he is. Yeah. To just get in that place where we go and we just focus on who he is. What he's like. What he's actually done. That we get in awe and say, oh my goodness, God, you are great. You are awesome. I saw that, you know, Animal Kingdom video and it just blew my mind. There's, you know, animals and fish and all kinds of things people haven't even seen. And you created all of that. So we can't forget. He, first off, looked up and praised God.
Yeah.
Secondly, in verse 7 through 10, we see Nehemiah, he looks in. You know, he said, we have acted very wickedly toward you. And have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and the laws that you gave your servant Moses. You know, here, Nehemiah is taking personal responsibility, not just for himself, but for the people. And it says that he confessed, you know, his sin. He says, hey, we blew it. We Israelites, we've done it. This is why we're in the situation that we are in. You know, church, if you don't look in, sometimes you spend too much time looking out. And you focus, you can look at this person and, well, they're doing this, they're doing that. That might be true. But unless we look in first, admit our our sins, confess our sins, we're not going to move forward in our friendship with God. Because we're going to be focusing on the wrong thing. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. There is something beneficial for Christians to confess their sins. It literally helps you be healthy spiritually and physically. Confessing sin needs to be constant because we are sinners. But the beauty of it is that we have a God who's gracious that forgives us. And so it's not for, you know, some exercise. It's not about, oh, I don't want people to look at me and judge me. You know what I've realized? Everybody's got something. Everybody. So whether you can see it or not, everybody's got something. So remember that. Be real, because God knows anyway. Amen? Secondly, look back. Here's what was so beautiful about what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah said, hey God, we're in exile and we're here because of what we've done. But you also said something here in your word. You said that if we return, let me read it right. If you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place where I've chosen as a dwelling for my name. You know, one of the most beautiful things in Christ is to see someone who left the Lord and then they return. You know, Enrique Sr. was restored in 2012. He came back in a situation where he was living with his girlfriend. And he got restored and got out of that situation. Well, she started studying the Bible. She became a disciple. And then Julia and Enrique got married in 2013. Yeah. But you know what's incredible? Is that then he began to bring his boys to church. And you know, I'm happy to say today, you see that little dude right there? That was a birthday party in 2006. Little man child. Yeah. Enrique Jr. is going to become your brother in Christ today. Yeah. There he is. But God did it. He brought Enrique back. He helped him get his walk with God. And now he helps his son. So encouraging. You know, it's also encouraging. I remember when Sari and I came back on staff in 2005. You know, things were really different. And, you know, the staff wasn't as big and you know, there weren't many young people on staff. I used to think I was a young guy. In spirit. The hair gives it away. But one of the things I remember us praying about, maybe 2010 or 11, man, we got to get younger. We got to get younger. And you know, God answered that prayer. And it's so encouraging. I want you to look at this video. Look at what God is doing or has done.
Now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You'll be added to God's kingdom with the gift of God's Holy Spirit.
Here's what's so cool. Matt, Desiree, and Sarah Soltos. That's how I have to say her name. They come through the children's ministry. They've gone through the teen ministry. They've come through the campus ministry. Now Matt's gone into the ministry, and now these young ladies are helping to work with the next generation. God encouraging because sometimes we can't see. We don't realize. It is actually happening. I know some of us can sometimes, when we look back, we're not looking at the right thing. We got to look back at the Word and look at what God actually says. This is a promise. And I know some of us, we look back and say, man, I didn't do this right, I didn't do that right, and maybe that's why this situation is what it is. Well, you know what? We can take responsibility, but let's not forget God's promise to us, to our children. God's promise. Sometimes, you know, our kids or our family members, they need to cook a little bit more, if you're with me. They need to stay in the cooker because there's stuff that they need to, you know, learn. But let's stay faithful to God's promise. Remain in me, and your word remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. Train a child in the way she go. What does he say? All right, I don't know exactly what, but we were all over the place on that one. But you know what I'm talking about. You know, last thing here that Nehemiah did was he looked forward. He looked forward. Church, God is faithful. He loves fulfilling his promises, especially to his people. I want to ask you, what promises or what prayers do you need to lift up to him today? What are you doubting that God can do? What are you afraid of? What situation is ailing you? I want to tell you, you need to lift it up to him. You need to present that request to him. You need to keep lifting it up. And God, you said this. This is what you said you can do. This is what you've done. Here it is. And let's continue to present it to God. Maybe it's challenges in our marriages. Maybe we're growing cold. Maybe we're not meeting each other's needs like we need to. Maybe we're tired because we're, you know, lacking a little strength. God, give us strength. Maybe in our parenting, hey, we've gotten frustrated and we just can't see how things are going. We got to keep bringing it back to God. Give me, help me, strengthen me. Give me the patience that I need. Maybe we're waiting for that special relationship and we don't see it. Please don't compromise. Don't compromise. Don't take the shortcut. Remember, God knows. Whatever the situation is in our lives, we must look back to God in his word and remind him of his promises and pray. Lastly, as I said, let's look forward. You know, it says Nehemiah, and we didn't read this part, but he goes to Jerusalem, he inspects the wall, and then he comes back and he says, guys, I want to tell you what God put on my heart. Up to that point, he didn't tell anybody anything. And he goes and he says, here's what God put on my heart. We are rebuilding the wall. And what did the people say? Man, you're crazy. We can't, but look at that wall. Look at this. Look at that. Now, when he came to town, he already had planned what he was going to do. So they saw all of the timber. They saw all of the stuff. He had already planned it out. And now the people came and he said, hey, I want to tell you what the gracious hand of my God has done. And they saw what God had done. They saw the materials ready to be built. And he said, gentlemen and ladies, let's begin to rebuild. And the people said, we're with you. You know, there is a perspective in life that I don't have yet because I'm not a grandparent. Don't want to be a grandparent yet. But when you think about the future, there's nothing like watching a grandparent with their grandchild. I got to see, you know, brothers who became grandparents, you know, recently. And they, it's like, is that the same person? Because they're different, you know? And you know, I started, I'm thinking, I'm like, what is it about these grandparents? Because they're looking at a part of them that's kind of through somebody else. And it's like, oh my gosh, look at what God did. You know, when you focus on the future, you can't do anything but get excited. Because it's like, what's to come? But the bigger thing is seeing this dream become a reality. And I want to share this last video here with you. Because I watched this, you know, sitting on the side there. And I want you to check it out. That was Juanita coming and preaching at a women's day, and that was Leah at like 8. But the reason I wanted to share this is because everybody's on a journey. Our families are all on a journey. And we may start out one place, but then eventually we want to see it at this place. And we want to see God work and do what he does, which is fulfill his plan in individuals' lives. But that doesn't happen if Nehemiah doesn't accept what God put on his heart. It was to rebuild the wall. For some of us, it's starting underneath our roof and seeing our families be what God wants it to be. For some of us, it's our community. It's whatever it is that God's putting on your heart. It starts on our knees. It starts in prayer. You know, Nehemiah came to town and he inspired everybody around him. And they said, "We are with you. God has given you and I an incredible, incredible dream to do his will while we have breath in our bodies. We don't know how much time we have, but here's the thing. He talked with God daily. He fasted, he prayed, and God used him to do the unthinkable. Rebuild city. Rebuild lives. Rebuild a culture that focused back on God. Are we not in the same business? Are we not trying to do the same thing? Church, this was his pattern. This was his challenge. When things came up, he went to God in prayer. Before he took action, he prayed. Before he talked with others, he prayed. Before he did anything else, he went to God. Prayer was his reflexive response. I want to encourage you to take some time, later today, this week, and I want you to write out a prayer. A prayer that looks up and you focus on God. Then a prayer that looks in. God, help me with my weaknesses. Help these, you know, issues become strength. Then a prayer to look back. What has God actually done? Well, God, you did this. I remember that. I remember this. I remember that. Amen. And then lastly, look forward. And you fill in that blank there. What is it you want to see God do this year in your life with you for His glory. Let's look up. Let's look in. Let's look back. And let's look forward. To God be the glory. Amen.